the 2-2. Well hit down the left field line. Way back and
goal! We are officially 4 days out from opening day. This is Wednesday, March 29th, and opening day is on Sunday. It's a big deal. You guys, it's been a long off season. Welcome to Walk It Off. I'm Danny Wexelman with Gemma Kaneko and Ashley Chavez. Gemma, Ashley, hey.
Hi.
Danny, what's up?
How's it going?
It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It's pretty good.
It's been busy.
Things are good.
Yeah. Okay, we've got opening day coming up. Spring training is wrapping up. The Final Four starts on Saturday, which is highly anticipated. Gemma will be watching her first game of the whole tournament.
That's not true. I kind of lied. I did watch Michigan's run. So.
Okay, well, it wasn't long, so yeah. You didn't watch
Well, all right, but it was longer than expected, so let's ease up on that one, okay?
Longer than last
I don't
last
see
year.
Any school that you went to in top four
this
in the
is
Final
true,
Four.
But so I would like to point out that Mizzou did just acquire Michael Porter Jr., the number one guy in the country. So Mizzou is about to change its tide. The tides are changing. Quanzo Martin is over there in Columbia, Missouri. Ash, I know we're going to talk about your bracket a little bit because you seem to be super proud of it. So I'm not sure why, but we'll get to that in a little bit. We're talking Raiders today. We're talking about Francisco Lindor and some comments he made, which are interesting. And of course, we're going to have Nicole Auerbach on the show to talk Final Four and all things basketball. So it's going to be a good one today. And let's jump right in. So the Raiders are going to Las Vegas. It is official. They're going to Sin City. Is this a sinful move? Trend or trash? I mean, listen, the LA Chargers, the LA Rams, the Atlanta Thrashers became the Winnipeg Jets, the Seattle Supersonics became the Oklahoma City Thunder. Like, this isn't the first time we've seen something like this, but is this the right move going to Las Vegas? What in the world is going on here? Trend or trash? The Raiders moving to Vegas. And Ash, I want to start with you.
I'm going to trend the Raiders moving to Vegas because this is the, how do I say this without cursing? This is the show, the S show that I want to see. It'll be very entertaining to see how this goes down. I am like, I mean, everyone just assumes that you can't have a team in Vegas because of gambling and everything, but I don't think that's true. And I think if any sport can make it there, it's going to be football. So I am excited to see. I feel bad for the Raiders on multiple levels, not just because they're like Oakland fans are losing their team again, mm-hmm. but because the Raiders are actually doing very well. And I don't know how this mix-up is going to affect them or not. So it's going to be exciting to see that too. But basically we're going to have storylines for days after this. So I'm trending it.
Gemma.
I will trend it as well, mostly because, like Ashley, I'm interested in watching the
circus
fallout.
I think is the word.
Circus.
Yes, the circus like. That will occur. Yeah. I'm sad. I think it's also funny that Ashley is just like, oh, football's going to do great, despite the fact that there is a hockey team also coming
right.
to Las Vegas.
Yeah. Too hot for hockey. Way too hot for hockey. Then.
I mean, they have hockey in the South.
I know.
But
I know.
what I also like that's come out of this story, actually, I'm just so I can like selfishly jerk it back to baseball, is that the A's have just like committed to Oakland, have really just like made that part of their marketing plan this offseason. It's just like, we are in Oakland. We are Oakland's team.
Yeah.
We saw this really cool mural the other day that someone had painted at Oakland. The team came, people from the team came and signed, like the A's GM came and signed, like everyone was there.
Okay.
Just to be like, you know what? And I like that because I enjoy people really like rallying around days. So.
Okay. I like that. I'm going to trash this move. I think, one, I'd like to offer some advice to the people of Oakland because I am familiar with your team leaving. Not that the Rams carried as much weight as the Oakland Raiders. I will definitely not compare them in that way, but I will say when your team leaves, you just kind of have to, it's kind of like the Band-Aid, just rip it off and get over it and move on. Either you're going to stay a fan or you're going to choose a new team. And that's kind of the fun of sports. And I'm trashing it because I don't think that Vegas needs a football team that already exists. I think that they should have made a new team and made two
team?
New teams. Yes, they should have made two new teams, obviously, to keep it even. But I don't think you should have moved the team away. I think that fan bases are built on loyalty and time and just up and moving a team to Vegas because it's Vegas. Like, I don't see the point. And I think that their numbers are going to be low. I predict that the stadium won't be filled. And I think that is going to be a circus and they're going to have trouble dealing with the people there. And it's interesting. Ross Tucker, he contributes to Sports on Earth and he tweeted out, I hope I'm wrong, but it feels like there's a pretty decent chance the Raiders will have the worst home field advantage in the NFL in Vegas. Now, does that really even matter? I don't know. When you're moving to Vegas, you're not thinking about home field advantage, are you? No, you're not. You're thinking about everything else. You're thinking about money, of course. You're money hungry. So I'm interested to see what the stadium actually fills with and what happens with the hockey, too. I mean, it's about to be a circus, to put it nicely. Okay, so let's move on to baseball because baseball is coming, and I know we're all very excited about that. So Francisco Lindor played in the World Baseball Classic for Team Puerto Rico. And he had a really interesting quote. He said, "I love the way the game is played here, but I also don't like getting hit by pitches," which really surprised me because the context of this is the unwritten rules of baseball. And he's very young. He's up and coming. He's the smile in the face of Cleveland, right? Of Major League Baseball. And it really surprised me that he made these comments. And it's worth bringing up again because of Ian Kinsler's comments during the World Baseball Classic when he said, "I hope kids watching the WBC can watch the way we play the game and appreciate the way we play the game as opposed to the way Puerto Rico plays or the Dominican plays." And we talked about this a little bit a week ago about the comments from Kinsler were taken out of context. But what I want to know from you guys is trend or trash Lindor's comments on the way the game is played today, and you know, does it really matter what he's saying? Gemma?
Well, obviously I'm going to trend Lindor's comments because I do think that it's good and interesting and surprising to hear any young player talking about this in a way that has any level of commitment to any opinion or position at all to it, which is rare to say like, hey, this is, you know, but I think that his comments and Kinsler's comments are on a similar level, which as I like kind of went to bat for Ian Kinsler last week, because while I think that his comments were taken out of context, it the way he said it, I think he meant like every country plays in a different way and it's great to see all of it. And I think the way it was interpreted was our way is better.
Yes.
Which maybe I'm giving him too much credit again. Don't know, but that is what I think he meant, especially compared to some people who commented after the WBC, like older players who said things like Puerto Rico is hot dogging, things like that. Which that to me is openly dismissive of Puerto Rico and their playing style, which is very much different from what Kinsler said. But for Lindor to say, which is basically like, I understand that there's a way that the game is played here, but there's maybe something about it that's not so great.
Yeah.
I support that, especially because it's very obvious to me that fans really like Lindor and players like Lindor.
Yes.
So good for him. Good for him for making a statement.
Okay.
Yes.
Ash?
I was surprised by this too, because I think I just assumed that every other country plays almost the same way, but maybe with a little more like gusto on both sides, with celebrating and with retaliating. So I guess I'm wrong, especially a country like Puerto Rico, which we saw was like just so exciting, so much fun, cheering, screaming, you know, doing whatever. I would think the retaliation was at the same level. So I'm wrong in that. I am interested to see how this is going to trend further with other players coming out about that. And maybe the retaliation thing will die because they're obviously carrying the torch for us right now. But you guys know how I feel about that. So I don't know. I mean, I do.
That's why I wanted to know your opinion, Ash, because we have talked about the unwritten rules. And we have talked about we like when someone hits someone because you bat flipped or whatever it may be. And we've had pretty good talks about this. So it's interesting to hear from Lindor.
Yeah, exactly. That's where I'm super shocked. But, you know, like, I mean, again, I don't like people getting hit. I don't want anyone to get hurt. I do love a good brushback. So let's just not hit, but keep the brushbacks. I think everyone will be happy with that. And we'll go along our merry way and just enjoy this baseball season with a little bit of chin music.
Ashley requests all pitchers have pinpoint control. Like, perfect control.
Hey, they are professional pitchers. They got some pretty damn good control. So they could do it. They've been doing it for years.
I've seen a lot of pass balls in my life of watching baseball, okay? Like...
We've seen a lot of brushbacks. We used to see so many brushbacks in the 90s. The 90s were brushbacks. Yeah. That was it. 100% brushbacks every single day. It can be done. Just keep it at that. Make me happy, please.
I think that Lindor's point, right, is that like if you demonstrate positive emotion, probably shouldn't get hit with a pitch.
Yeah.
You know, people
fight.
I
get it.
And I know that we all have our feelings about base brawls or whatever, you know, but if negative emotions to me, that's a different topic. But if someone's happy, are you really going to hit them with a pitch? I'm on Lindor's side on this one.
I want to trend it too. I think it's really interesting that someone so young is saying something pretty bold, especially the, you know, we've been talking about make baseball great again, right? Mm-hmm. I almost said Mike Harper.
Mike Harper.
Bryce Harper. Making baseball great again, whereas Mike Trout is quietly making baseball great again. We have these conversations a lot, but now Lindor is speaking up, and he's got the platform, and he's got the team, he's got the support behind him, and he can play. The kid can play. So I feel like you are allowed to make that bold statement, and, you know, maybe not allowed, but you are welcome. Like, you should be.
Yeah, I guess what's crazy to me about it is I think it, and like that you think it is a bold statement, but really it's not a bold statement. It just seems that way against the landscape
of the way that we talk about.
I feel like he's going to get hit because he said it.
Some old school guy is like, why are you talking about this? This is the game. This is the way the game's played. So get over it. This is how we've been playing.
Like you said also, Ashley, is that there's this wave of youth that's obviously the game is changing, you know? So the way that they play is going to be the way that baseball is played and the way that new young fans understand it to be played. Which to me is great. And also because I do think that there is so much room for personality and people want that. People want to see personality. So
I agree. Okay, we're going to move on to...
Yeah, personality is fun.
What was that, Ash?
Sorry. Yeah, personality is fun. And I think the World Baseball Classic is just... And it's gaining so much popularity because of that.
Yeah, it totally, I feel like, set up the season. Just, it feels like a different vibe coming in to the season off the Classic. But I want to move to Kobe Bryant. And a statement he made, we're staying with a quote theme here. He said, I've never been approached by a coach that asked me to rest. They knew better than that. So this is talking about the whole issue with the Cavs resting their three big guys. People come to watch the game. Then the commissioner's like, we're going to have to address this at the meetings. And it became this big thing. And now Kobe Bryant is weighing in, which is always interesting when, you know, a former player weighs in on things like this. The game is different today than it was. And this applies to the Lindor comments as well. The game is different today than it was when Kobe was in his prime. And I'm not saying – I'm going to go first here. I'm trashing this statement. I'm not saying that it's right to rest the three big guys on your team when people are paying a lot of money. Media pays a lot of money. But if the guy needs the rest, the guy needs the rest. Like, are you trying to win right now? Or are you trying to win, you know – the championship. What are you trying? What's more important here? So for me, trash this comment. Kobe, man, like, you're out of the game. Sorry. Like, appreciate it, but no thanks.
I'm going to trend this because Kobe is a psychopath, and I feel like everything that he ever talks about is so weird that I'm like, okay, let's learn more about this. Yeah, I'm fascinated by him as a person and a personality. I'm like, what is your deal? Like that time that he just tweeted a picture of himself playing piano in like a full winter coat and scarf at like 2 a.m.
Photo shoot.
I'm like, what are you doing? But it was like a badly lit selfie. It was so weird. But I'm like so fascinated by him and why he thinks he is the greatest person who exists, because I do think that he thinks that about himself.
I agree.
So is his opinion like, I didn't need rest because I never need rest, I work so hard that I'm a basketball machine, like what? Or like, or is his opinion that he was doing it for the fans? I don't know. I'm curious. I need to know like what level
both
of nuts
I
he's
bet
on
both.
But like I said last week also, what the question is, like, how serious is this, and to what degree are we talking entertainment versus like win total?
That's right. Which is why it's a really interesting conversation. Ash, like, I'm dying to hear what you have to say about this.
Yeah, I'm gonna trend this as well. I usually don't, and this might be me getting older, I usually do not like when old players chirp in, because it's always like a grump story. Like, I don't care. I don't want to hear about your day. We know about your day. We're on the new day now. But I do like Kobe because he is nuts, and I especially like him kind of attacking LeBron. So I do want this to continue. It's fascinating. It's so much fun. I do agree that if someone needs rest, then rest them. But resting your three top guys is making a statement 100%. You know this going into it. So I thought that was straight garbage. They just accepted a loss. It was just in an embarrassing way. So I don't think that's right. But if LeBron needs rest because he's got cramps or something, rest him. That's totally fine. Whatever you have to do. I also love that Adam Silver was just like, I'm taking care of this right now. We're talking. You know, like, there was zero time in between. That's how a commissioner should handle his league. And he immediately went in and was like, I guess we all have to talk now because y'all did something ridiculous and everyone's pissed off. But I don't think that it's, I don't really care about the entertainment factor. Fans are obviously number one. I'm a fan. Everyone's a fan of things. But you don't really matter in this equation. You know, if someone needs rest, I don't care. You paid money to see LeBron and you're not going to, that's going to happen. And I'm sorry, but I don't know. I do like this drama, and I do like Kobe chirping in right now, because who cares, Kobe? Who cares? No one cares, except for Gemma and I now, because you're funny.
Yeah. Well, yes, because it's Kobe. But I do think that the fan does matter, because when you say like, oh, the fans will be like, resting one player, sure, like one big name player.
Yeah, that's fine.
All three, like be like these three big names that everyone is there to see. You know,
yes.
To me, it's like, okay, one, even two, to some degree, I would understand, but that fans, what a fan's experience is, does matter, because that's why sports exist,
right?
Because people want to come watch these games.
I agree with you 100%. I meant the one person. Three people, yes, that's ridiculous. That's just rude to everybody.
Yeah.
Well, and we
yeah.
talked about this too, because the difference between baseball and basketball is that you could go to a game one night and Yadier Molina is not catching, but he's probably going to be catching another game in that series. Whereas basketball, you're there for one night. Hockey, you're there for one night, and if you don't see your guy play, that sucks.
Yeah, and it's just like, in terms of, you know, the shorter seasons also, every sport is shorter than baseball, but like all these sports with the shorter seasons, like you want to see the personalities and the figures that you are familiar with. Whereas in terms of like baseball, there's so many games, you'll probably see them. And even if you don't see one player, like there's a chance that you're going to see something else that's totally weird.
Right.
You know, the draw is different. So the logic of baseball of like, oh, we're resting these guys because we need them to be fit for the whole season. Like, it's so much longer that logic makes sense to me. Whereas in like shorter season sports, it's just like, yeah, okay. But also, isn't this supposed to be fun for us to be at for when we're here? Because we paid more than $10, which is like what I pay to sit in bleachers. It's like $10 is nothing.
Yeah.
But I've paid way more to see a basketball game. Yeah.
So yeah,
to Danny's point, when you said that, do you want to watch them play today or do you want them to win a championship? I don't think that's necessarily, resting one day is not going to affect that, but it is kind of towards that. What's going to benefit the team? What's going to get the W?
Yeah,
and future W's. And I think if you're a fan, then you also understand that it does suck because, say,
it's a great point.
The Cavs are in town for one game, you know, and that's the only time you could see them, and that might be the only time you get to see them all year, and you don't get to see LeBron play, sure, that is, like, frustrating, and I get it. But ultimately, if that's going to benefit the team later, that's just the way it goes.
It's,
you know,
very
what
interesting.
It sucks.
But I'm not, it's also NBA is not, the NBA is not, like, this, like, gritty, let's just grit our teeth and go out on the court and do our jobs and then go to bed sport. Like, that's not what the NBA is. The NBA is, like, the most fun sport, right? Big personalities. It's exciting on the court.
Yeah.
You know, it's not all about just, like, ruthlessly grinding towards the most wins.
It's not the NFL.
It's not the NFL. It's not MLB. It's a totally different thing. So while I'm down with one or two players resting, I think sometimes you have to be aware that, to some degree, you know, you're trying to welcome people into this, like, fun environment in a way that's not necessarily the case.
Yeah, did you hear that, LeBron? Anyway, okay, we gotta move on. Okay, so I have some fun over-unders for you guys for this season in baseball. So all I need you to say is over or under.
Okay.
All right, we'll see if we can do that.
Jose
Altuve had 24 home runs last season. Over or under for 30 this year?
Under.
I'm also gonna say under.
Okay. Billy Hamilton had 58 stolen bases last year. Over or under 50?
Over.
Yeah, dude, that lineup's going to be pretty sweet for him. I'm excited to see his on-base percentage.
Okay.
Over.
Max Scherzer had 2 no-hitters last year and came within 1 strike of a perfect game. Over, under, 2 no-hitters for Max Scherzer this season.
Under.
Under. Even though I love him and I wish it would be over, but under.
Over, under, 1 perfect game happening this season in baseball.
Under.
Just to be different, I'm going to say over. That's crazy.
Me too, Ash.
No.
I'm doing it.
2 is crazy.
Why? I want to be selfish. I want to see it.
Yeah, me too.
All right. Mr. Encarnacion had 42 home runs last season. Over, under, 45.
Under.
Oh, you know what? Over for kicks.
Okay. Here's a fun one. Tim Tebow makes it to AA. Over or under him making it to AA?
Under. Under.
All right, Mike Trout the most underrated player in baseball. He had 110 walks last season, over or under 130 walks this season. Did he become more disciplined this offseason?
I mean, it also depends on the lineup,
110 is pretty good.
Yeah, I'm going to say under.
Okay.
130, right? Under 130?
Yeah,
okay, 130. I'm going to say under.
Okay, then I'll say over.
Okay. Trout's WAR last season, 10.6. So he won 10 more games for the Angels.
That's crazy.
That is basically like an elite level.
Yeah.
In your own category.
That is the level.
Yeah. Yeah. He's by himself basically. So over or under 10.6. I'll round it to 11. Sorry, I'll round it
under,
to 11.
Under, but barely under.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like it's going to be pretty consistent, but I'll say over because what else is going on for the Angels?
That poor guy. well, what else is going on is Albert Pujols, who hit 119 RBIs last season.
Albert Pujols.
So over or under 100 RBIs this season for Albert Pujols?
Over. I have confidence.
Okay.
Ash? I'm going to say under, but like maybe 90. One RBI for every year he's been on this planet.
That is, I feel like we should end the show. What more should we say about that? And I'm going to throw this in there. I need to know who's going all the way this year. I don't need why. I need winning the World Series this year.
God. That is so difficult. I never even allowed myself. I mean, I still need to like research for my draft coming up soon.
But
I've yet to do that. I haven't even gotten it.
Okay. I need a bold prediction.
I went real bold on that one.
Or Gemma went very bold.
I was gonna pick the Astros or the Blue Jays, both which I think are actually pretty crazy picks, but why not just go for it?
Our producer Rena is going with the Red Sox, obviously. Ash, are you gonna be a homer? Yeah.
I don't think I'm gonna be a homer.
Go ahead, Ash.
Go on, Danny. No, you go.
You want me to go? All right, I'm going to be super bold. I'm going with the Cubs. I'm going with a repeat.
Oh, man, so bold.
It was bold. For me?
Yeah.
It is bold.
Yeah.
But that might change.
I want to go with the National League team.
Okay.
But I can't think of anyone, so I'm going to go with...
The Nats are pretty bold.
No, the Nats will literally never make it. That's just the way it goes. Until they get rid of Dusty Baker, really they're never going to make it. I'm going to pick the Giants. Screw it. I'm going homer, too.
Homer choice. All right. We have a few more things we need to move on, and then we're going to say bye. Okay, so not quite the 11th hour, but the women's USA hockey team did reach a wage agreement, so they will be playing in the World Championships. They signed a 4-year deal. We don't know the numbers, but it must have been good enough to get them to sign the contract, right? Moving on. Morgan Williams scored 41 points at Mississippi State's women's basketball game to help lead them to their first Final Four, and this was a day after the 3-year anniversary of her dad passing. That's pretty cool. She had a really good interview on ESPN, which I liked. News came out today, breaking news on Wednesday, that Jerry's Familia 15-game suspension for violating MLB's domestic violence policy, and Rob Manfred was quoted saying, "It's clear Mr. Familia regrets what transpired that night and takes full responsibility for his actions." Do we have quick comments about that?
Not quick.
We'll get back to that in a little bit. Ash, let's talk about your bracket.
Okay. Well, I'm just going to say that being right is so great, especially when it's March. So I've been like really right this entire month, and it's been overwhelming. I don't know what to do, but I just want to say that according to NCAA, I'm in the 98th percentile. So that's pretty ding dang good. My Final Four is almost perfect except for stupid Duke. So whatever. That's going to happen. But I do have Gonzaga and Oregon in the final. Wow. And look how beautiful that's turning out right now.
I'll give it to you. Ooh. That's a pretty big deal. I will.
Congratulations.
I picked Wisconsin to beat Nova. That was my proudest moment.
Yeah,
I think.
That's a big move, dude. I did not.
That's really good.
A big one. That's
really
busted
good.
Busted my bracket. The best one of all. Okay, here we go. Dawn Staley's bonus for South Carolina making the women's Final Four, $100,000. It's the same as Frank Martin, who made the men's Final Four, and hat tip to Steve Berkowitz for that. For that fantastic stat. I mean, like, hell yes, as it should be. I can't believe that even a thing, but it's a thing and it's great and it's awesome and it's really exciting. So like, congrats to Dawn and South Carolina, like hats off to you guys. That's major.
It's very holy exciting. Crap, my friend went there and she's flipping out. Just the whole month, she's just been flipping out.
And it's just a really interesting Final Four. I'm really excited. Can I talk today? I'm very excited to talk to Nicole Auerbach. So we're gonna bring her on. And let's I don't know. Let's go UNC. That's how I
go Gonzaga.
Go Gonzaga. That's what you got, Ash.
I need Gonzaga to win. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Awesome. Well, that's gonna do it for right now. Ash, thank you so much. We love you. We miss you.
I know. Miss you guys so much.
All right. It is now time to welcome in Nicole Auerbach, USA Today's national college basketball reporter. Nicole, you are already in Phoenix. How are you doing?
I am running on fumes at this point in March, but very excited for the Final Four and kind of the final run here. I've had South Carolina, oddly enough, all the way through. I had them in Greenville and North New York. So not anything that I've expected for this month, but I'm kind of excited to see where that story ends up going to.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about this whole tournament in general. Some of the things that have obviously been surprising, but maybe a couple moments that have stood out to you.
Yeah, you know, it was slow going, right? There were no major Cinderellas that first day and the first 2 days, and everyone sort of freaked out that this wasn't going to be a fun tournament. Usually when a team is close to pulling off some sort of monumental upset, there is a little bit of hesitation or nerves at the end, and there were absolutely none from South Carolina, which is something that we've learned these last couple of rounds since then. But, you know, so beyond that moment, I would also put right up there Chris Chioza's buzzer beater at the Garden, which followed Zach Showalter's shot. It feels like a lot of the games this year, dating back to last year's championship game, there's been like the shot before the shot. And that was certainly the case in that game. And then obviously I had to watch from afar, but North Carolina, Kentucky, phenomenal ending again with the shot before the shot. So, you know, we really have had some high level games ever since that first round, maybe disappointed some, but the quality of the games since the second round has been top notch.
So you said you had South Carolina all the way through, which I think is pretty incredible. Foresight or just generally amazing ability to figure things out. So have you learned anything from watching this tournament that's going to enable you to make good upset picks next year? Did you already have this knowledge? Is that why you're so good at making brackets? Like, what tricks can you help us with?
You know, the thing I learned from South Carolina is that just because my perception of a league is not that great or that strong does not necessarily mean these teams can't go on a run. I had the all SEC final in the Elite Eight. I had Florida and South Carolina, two teams I didn't think would get there. So I learned that. I also learned that just because a program is dormant, basically, and has no basketball history, doesn't mean that with the right coach and the right players that they can go on a run. I think NCAA tournament experience, I usually value that a lot more. And I've learned that that doesn't necessarily mean these guys can't step up in the moment. And then I've learned from Oregon, never discount a team too much just because there's an injury late. I usually, again, decide that, oh, they're not going to be able to adjust on the fly, or it's going to change the way they do things too much and have them go out too early. But Oregon getting to the Final Four after Chris Boucher's injury shows that that theory is also wrong. So basically all of my bracket principles have gone out the window this year.
I kind of want to touch on let's stay with South Carolina. Frank Martin, you had a great story about the impact that his mom has had on him. What are you seeing, you know, from your perspective, your journalistic perspective? You've been at these games. You're watching everything. I mean, like you said, you're on fumes. What are you seeing? What are your eyes seeing about South Carolina that's so special?
Well, all I had known of Frank Martin from afar was the angry death glares, like most of us, and the amazing suits, which are still amazing. And I think that one thing that being around this team has shown me is how much it works when you want to be the guy that yells and gets in guys' faces. But they also instantly, the moment that they won that, they clinched their berth to the Final Four, he was the one they wanted to hug, and they wanted to like hug him hard. It's not just like, I should hug the coach because I should, but he is this father figure in their lives. He's a life coach. I mean, I would like him to be my life which I learned a lot from his press conferences last weekend in the Garden. But he, I think that I didn't know as much about his crazy past and how unlikely it was that he even landed in college basketball coaching, that he landed certain jobs, that he even got to this point. And I think that that's been really cool to experience and see. And then you see how he has taught his players so much by his own upbringing and his own backstory. And you can just see how relatable he is. And so I think that that's something that's been really cool. And I think, you know, every year with NCAA tournament, there are teams and players and coaches that kind of come into our lives that we didn't know much about. And I think Frank Martin is that for a lot of people. I think a lot of people have been really inspired by kind of his no-nonsense approach to a lot of things, including whether or not we are coddling children these days in sports. But also his how open he is about the moment, in the greatest moment of his professional career, how much he credits his mother for it and how emotional he gets about that. And I think everyone can relate to that. And I think it's just been a really cool ride to watch up close.
Speaking of children, let's talk about Lonzo Ball and the Ball family. How's he going to do? What's his future? What's going to happen? What's his career going to be like?
Well, I am so excited that he is off to the NBA and that I don't have to talk about him all the time, except that his younger brother is coming to UCLA and LeVar will never go away. I am very curious to see what ends up happening with his father. I think that my colleague Sam Amick had done a story about 2 weeks ago where he talked to a lot of front office folks in the NBA about whether or not LeVar is a reason not to draft Lonzo. And he got most, I mean, the response was mixed, as you would imagine, but a lot of people did say, no, I mean, this is, you're drafting the kid. And I do think once Lonzo, you know, gets an agent and the right people around him, they're going to be able to be like, hey, it's time to like stop talking or at least tone it down a little bit. But you're Lonzo, you're a 19-year-old kid. You can't tell your father that. Right. As he's been doing this these last few months. So I think ultimately, you know, it's given us lots to talk about. I do think that LeVar showed that he belongs on First Take and would be excellent on that show on a daily basis. And I think that that is an interesting career path for him to pursue. But I think Lonzo is going to be great. I mean, he's kind of coming into the NBA at the perfect time. The undersized guard who can do crazy things and make passes that other people can't even think about. You know, obviously the comparison to Steph Curry has been mocked because he is no Steph Curry right now, but that is a good general starting point, I think, of the potential and what he could become like. And I think without a Steph Curry in the league, it's harder to imagine a guy like Lonzo having kind of the immediate success that I think he will have.
It's interesting because I feel like normally we don't talk about parents getting in the way. It's usually someone's background or something they've done. We don't usually see parents at this level anymore. That is very much like a younger kid type thing. And the only thing that really comes to mind like right away is Colby Rasmus and the issues he had with the Cardinals and his dad. And it still bubbles up every once in a while when Colby's not getting his way or he's not happy with the organization. It's because his dad is not happy with the way that things are being handled. And I would hope that his dad wouldn't get in the way of his success, but it's just something that we don't really see anymore. And I wonder if he's embarrassed. Like, I wonder what this kid's thinking about, you know, really deep down what his dad is doing right now, because it's just, we don't see that anymore. And also, I wonder if this is selfish. Maybe his dad is trying to, like, rake in on his son's success, you know, like, follow his coattails. That's definitely like a just very bizarre thing that's going on, but I am glad that you will not have to heavily cover that, hopefully, anymore. Fingers crossed for you, because you need to focus on other things, Nicole. And also, what I want to focus on are your bold predictions. I know you've made some, you've been thinking about them. I mean, I know your brain is probably at its wit's end, but I need from you two bold predictions for this last weekend in Phoenix of the tournament.
Okay, again, this is probably colored by all the time I've spent around South Carolina, but yeah. I've talked to a lot of people who live in North Carolina, South Carolina, really starting to understand the whole, like, Carolina divide. Like, who's the real Carolina? And the fact that, like, when you say Carolina's playing, everyone thinks North Carolina. Yeah. But South Carolina, it says just Carolina on a jersey. And, I mean, this is a real thing. So my first bold prediction is that we get an all Carolina national championship game, which is probably CBS and Turner's nightmare because it's very, very, very regional.
Yeah.
But I think it would be so compelling and so interesting. And you've got to think that all the North Carolina fans everywhere would be terrified that they would lose to South Carolina in it for national championship. I mean, that would just be the worst possible outcome for North Carolina basketball fan. But I think it would be super compelling and interesting if they matched up. And I think that there should be, I'm not sure entirely like, if there's something cool along the border of the two states, but I think that something should be up for grabs if this happens.
Love and the winner that. Gets it. I love that. It's great. And number two?
Okay. My other bold prediction is, you know, one of the big storylines all NCAA tournament has been North Carolina and how they are on this redemption tour and they are trying to get back to the national championship game, finish what they started, and just how painful last year has been. I mean, the players have a group chat that they use every day, like just for everything, like to go to Chipotle, whatever it is, and it's called redemption. So they are literally reminded every day about last year's loss. And then, of course, Chris Jenkins sitting behind their bench because he's like grew up with Nate Britt. Can't forget either. So my second bold prediction is that North Carolina wins it all, gets their redemption, and then Roy Williams retires. Why not? Retire on top. No more NCAA cloud over the program. Boom. That's my second bold prediction. That is really bold.
Wow.
Wow.
But yeah, walk presumably off home run to go out for Roy.
My jaw is dropped. That is damn bold. I love that.
What I like is that it implies that North Carolina wins, and as per your first prediction, they also win the entire state of South Carolina. Yes. So then it just becomes Carolina. No more North and South. All one state. Yeah.
I told you it was bold.
I don't think we have anywhere else to go. I think that you've dropped the mic completely. And I, as always, I'm so appreciative of your time. You're a rock star. And I hope that this weekend is everything that everybody wants it to be. I know your writing will be fantastic. Remind me, where can people follow you? Where can they find you?
If you go to usatoday.com/sports, you'll see plenty of videos and stories. And then on Twitter, it's just Nicole Auerbach, NicoleAuerbach.
I love it. Nicole, thank you so much for your time.
All right, thanks for having me, guys.
Now the 2-2. Well hit, Donald.